Good morning, everybody. I'm going to teach you guys a song. It goes like this. It's not too hard. Here it is.
You are holy, great and mighty. The moon and the stars declare who you are.
You guys can handle that? guys sounding good. Good job. So, I've been home for about a month and being lazy. Actually, I was in Pennsylvania for the last couple weeks working on a construction job, so I wasn't too lazy. But I have to go back to school today, and I'm not looking forward to that. I think I'm the last one from here that hasn't gone back yet, and I don't know what that says about my work ethic. You guys can stand up or sit down or do whatever you want. Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the oceans roar? When the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ, the risen one. Did you feel the people tremble? Did you hear the singers roar? When the lost began to sing of Jesus Christ, the saving one. And we can see that God, you're moving a mighty river through the nations, and young and old will turn to Jesus. Fling wide you heavenly gates, prepare the way of the risen Lord. Open up the doors and let the music play. Let the streets resound. Tremble when all the saints join in one song, and all the streams flow as one river to wash away our brokenness. And here we see that God, you're moving, a time of jubilee coming, when young and old return to Jesus. Fling wide you heavenly gates, prepare the way of the risen Lord. Open up the doors and turn to Jesus. Please. You guys can be seated. Series called Awakening, and this is week two of it, and we're just talking about how we can be fully alive. And so that means, of course, you guys have to be fully awake this morning. And isn't it good to have Richie with us this morning again? I gotta talk about Richie for a second. He's one of these teens that has really grown up here at Cornerstone. You've been here since the beginning. How old are you now? Like 20? 21. So you were like 13 when Cornerstone started. So we've been able to see Richie grow up. I remember down at Praising in the Park one time, they were playing some music. And back at that time, Richie, the only kind of music he listened to or played was speed, death, thrash, metal, screamo. Is that a pretty good characterization? Yeah. And he was playing something on a guitar. And we knew he could play guitar. But then he started singing, and everybody just stopped and went, "Dude, you can sing." He's like, "Really? I didn't know I could sing." And, now you see how God's using him. And he's in college at Liberty and sophomore, junior. So he's in a band there, Dogwood and Holly. They've led worship here several times. And just, God's giving you guys some great opportunities. And it's wonderful to see people kind of grow up and to see God start bringing out their talents and using them. So, we're glad you were able to join us this morning before you head back to school. And when you came in, you got a worship guide. Several announcements this morning. One, we do have youth tonight. It'll be here. That's for 6th grade through 12th grade. We got a couple of health-related announcements. We've moved all of our health information back in the cafe, right beside the donuts. not inferring anything by that. Sometimes churches give mixed messages, and we're encouraging you to be active and get out and do some walking, and there's a sign-up sheet back there that with all the churches in the community, we're tracking how many miles people walk, so you can go back in the cafe if you've got questions, and there's a log sheet where you can put down how many miles you've walked or run this week. There's devotionals that go along with it each week, so you can pick up one of those to take with you. All that information is back in the cafe. Information about our Ribbons of Faith program. We're still needing some people to sign up for that. So you can talk to me, talk to Larissa if you've got questions about that. So all that information is back in the cafe now. And finally, men, if you are planning on going on the Wildfire Weekend at Liberty, it's the event coming up in March 8th and 9th, I believe. It's Tim Tebow is going to be there speaking, Joe White, Willie Robertson from Duck Dynasty. It's going to be a good weekend. Please let me know if you have already signed up, got tickets, are planning to go. If you have not signed up, it sold out this week. So it sold out, I think, Thursday. There is a waiting list on their website, so there is a chance they will have more tickets available. If you are even interested, then go today to their website, sign up on the waiting list. And maybe you'll get a chance to get in. If you are going, we just ask that you let us know so we can work out travel arrangements, hotel arrangements, and figure out how we're going to get together and hang out when we're there. So that's all the big announcements today. Just hope today that you're really ready to be awakened. I think so many times we sleepwalk through life. We don't really think about what it means to live in Christ. And what does that look like on a daily basis? What does that mean in our everyday life? Not just on Sunday morning when we can come and sing some songs together, but each and every day of the week, what does it look like to be awakened to the power of God in your life? Would you join me in prayer this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great love for us. May your Spirit be awakened in us where we fully walk in your Spirit each and every day. Lord, I pray that this morning your word
will touch us, will challenge us, will speak to our life and give us the courage to leave this place living for you. Lord, I'm thankful we can come to a place where we can grow, a place where we can worship and sing our praises to you and offer our lives to you in response to what you have done for us. It's in Jesus' name I pray this morning. Amen.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still.
It's not a long verse. It's not. It's popular, I guess, but it's probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's John 19:30.
It says, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It's just that phrase, "It is finished," sticks with me a lot. Think about that, and I don't know, it's powerful. Just, "It is finished. It is finished." So this is my favorite hymn, and let's sing. God for paying our ransom. God, I just pray that you be with Mike as he brings the message. And we just thank you for this day, and we love you. It's your name we pray. Amen.
This is you, or rather who you've become. You are who you've become because of your choices, circumstances, past, relationships, parents, or lack thereof. You, your life story up to this very second, the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's how you've become who you are. This, however, is who you were created to be. Alive, complete, fully free. Who you are, deeply rooted in who God is. Using your gifts, talents, passion, and resources to be God's hands and feet in this world. This is the you you've caught a glimpse of in your best and worst times. This is the you that you've been created to be. The distance between these two yous sometimes feels impossible to travel. The process to bridge these two yous is called transformation. It's the way that God helps you go from who you've become to who He created you to be. It's sometimes painful, sometimes difficult, sometimes slow, sometimes welcomed, sometimes not. But it is always loving. It is always what God longs for. It is always for everyone, including you. Our church exists to help lessen that gap. Transformation is something only God can do, but our church can help. To make what is undeniably spiritual as practical as possible. From what we teach, to the things we do, to when we meet, to who we do life with, we are committed to helping you grow, to helping you become who God created you to be. That's transformation. That's our church.
And that's really what we're going to be talking about this morning. How we can really awaken to who God created us to be. Now, I want to do a little exercise as we start off this morning, just to make sure you're awake, just to get your minds in gear a little bit. I know how sometimes early in the morning, you're kind of slow getting started. So we've got a little mental exercise here. I've got a little image here. Have some of y'all seen this before? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stare at those four dots kind of in the middle of the image. Just kind of let your eyes relax. I know it's kind of tough for some of you guys on the angles here. But let your eyes just kind of, and I just stare, kind of relax. And we're going to look at this for about 30 seconds. So just go ahead, kind of focus in. You know, I need some mood music. You know, we've got to play some little mood music next service to get you relaxed. But just look, kind of relax for a minute. You're just looking at this image. Keep looking. Okay. Here in a second, what we're going to do, we're going to change this image. I want you to keep looking right. Don't move your head. Nothing. Just look. Continually look right ahead. So let's go ahead and show the next image. Okay. Did anybody see something there? Raise your hand. Cool. I didn't know if that would work. I didn't try it before the service. I did on my computer at home, but I didn't. Paul's like, well, did you try it out here? I'm like, no. I got faith. What did you see? Jesus, right? So when you stared at it intently, and some of you are like, what are you talking about? That's all right. You can go home, try it again sometime. We'll put a link up to it. But Jesus kind of pops out on the screen a little bit, right? And you kind of see, and you go, whoa, where did that come from? And you stare at that image intently, and then Jesus kind of pops out. Here's my question for you this morning. When people stare intently at your life, what do they see? Do they see Jesus coming out of you? Do they really see Jesus in you and through you? Or do they just see you? And really, when we talk about being awakened, it's talking about being who God wants you to be so God can be seen in us, so God can be glorified. So people, when they look at us, they see a reflection of the God who created us. You know, the goal of the Christian life is that when people spend time with you, they increasingly see Jesus in you. I've got a quote here from Billy Graham that I wanted to share. And he said, being a Christian is more than just an instantaneous conversion. And unfortunately, that's what so many churches kind of, that's all they talk about is that one, that convert. And yes, that is important, don't get me wrong. But it is also a daily process where you grow to be more like Christ. And that's the transformation, that's the sanctification that the Bible talks about. There's a verse in the Bible that you maybe heard before. It's John 10:10. And it's really a verse that I want to talk about this morning, because I feel like so many people are not awakened because they're living in the first part of this verse. And it says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. And for so many people, you're here this morning, you're discouraged, you're frustrated, and you're wondering, you know, is this really what the Christian life is about? But Jesus said, I came that they may have life, and that they may have it abundantly. That they may have it abundantly. That they may have abundant life, a fulfilling life, a life of meaning and purpose. And many who have professed Christ as Savior have secretly wondered, is this really all there is to life? Surely the Christian life is meant to be more than this daily grind that I'm living in. And they know they're supposed to be experiencing this abundant life that Jesus promised, and yet they find themselves in a life of mediocrity. And they're wondering, how do I get from where I am, from who I've become, to who God wants me to be? And this morning, I hope I can give some guidance on that from God's Word. I hope that God will challenge us and awaken us to a new way of living, a Spirit-filled life of joy, of purpose, of meaning, of fruitfulness. This morning, we started with that video about transformation, about the distance between where you are and where God wants you to be. And as a church, we're here to help encourage you. We're here to help you experience a new way of life. Because when Jesus transforms a person, He doesn't just change the exterior. He transforms us from the inside out. He comes to live inside of us through the Holy Spirit. And He starts this process of transformation that starts with passing from death to life. And then He begins to live out His life through us. We become the hands and feet of Jesus as we surrender an intimate relationship with Him. And this is the essence of discipleship. And we believe that as this happens, the life of Jesus will begin to manifest itself in really three primary relationships in our life. Our relationship with God, right? I mean, when we start thinking about how we grow in Christ, our relationship with God, our relationship with other believers is changed, is transformed. And our relationship with the world is transformed. So in those three key areas of relationship is what, as a church, we want to help you be transformed. We kind of use these three words a lot to help you understand, experience, equip, and engage. And in our vision at Cornerstone, we talk about it from time to time. At Cornerstone, disciples are made who are experiencing new life in Christ, who are equipped to follow Christ, and who are engaging our community and our world for Christ. Now, I have a new shape up here this morning that I want to talk about. Shapes are important sometimes because when we see something and we hear it, we tend to remember it. If I asked you this morning what I talked about last week, I'm afraid that most of y'all would be like, something. You know what I mean? You want to remember, but yet it's hard to recall when you don't, I mean, the words, right? I mean, if you think and think. And if I ask you what I preached like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago or 6 months ago, it's really going to get ugly in here. But here's what I want you to look at. This shape will help us a little bit understand what we talk about in these three key areas of relationship. Experience. And this is about our relationship with God. And our relationship with God can be considered our spiritual growth and our worship. Our relationship with the other believers. Equip, and that's how we grow together in Christ, and we do that through community. We do that through evangelism, sharing this type of life we have with others. And finally, engage our relationship with the world around us. We do that through service with other Christians as we serve together. and we go out and share on mission and serve others in the name of Jesus. Now, the interesting thing about this graphic, and we'll talk about it over the next few weeks, is this inner core here of growth and community and service. This is the inward transformation that takes place in the life of a believer. This is what God wants to do in you. It's what God wants to do in our church as well. But the outer ring is what God wants to do through you. So it's not just about what God does in us. It's about what He wants to do through us. And so He wants us to go out and respond to what He's done inside of us. So this morning we're going to be focusing on this one square of experience, or this one corner of experience, about this idea of growth and worship. Now, growth, this first part of the diagram, is what God wants to do in us. And internally we call this spiritual growth. We grow in our knowledge and we experience God in many different ways as He begins to form His character in us. This is what God, you know, really, He does. He wants this for us. He wants us to be transformed, to be more like Jesus. Worship, this is the outward expression of what God has done. We seek to honor and glorify God in every aspect of our life, from our finances to the integrity of our relationships at work and home, to our personal worship and our corporate gathering of worship on Sunday morning. This is all what God wants to do through us. So if you've got your Bibles this morning, turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. And this is kind of going to be my main passage for today as we look at this process of growth and worship, at what God wants to do not only in us, but what God wants to do through us. So 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll have it on the screen as well up here. We'll be reading verse 3 through verse 11 here. And it says in 2 Peter, it says, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. And so many people, I'll just stop right there. So many people say, well, you just don't understand. I can't really change. This is who I am. This is who I'm created to be. And God says right here, He has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable us to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with the generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sin. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those who God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's such a powerful passage on who we are created to be. It's a passage about the importance of spiritual growth, and a passage about the importance of our response to God. So we get both growth and worship through this. Spiritual growth, if I asked you, you know, if I went up to each and every one of you and asked, well, how would you define spiritual growth? I have a feeling that you might struggle a little bit with that. How would you define it? Is it knowing more? Is it what? How would you define that? To help you understand what spiritual growth is, I want to go through a list of what spiritual growth is not. Don't you always love when people kind of do the opposite? So I got a list here. What spiritual growth is not? The first thing spiritual growth is not, it's not a way to earn your way into heaven. And for so many people, they get on this idea that, man, if I grow, if I just do a little bit better, then maybe God will like me, maybe God will accept me, maybe I can earn my way into heaven. And they may not say it in that way, but that's really what they're expressing, where, I mean, God will accept me if I can be good enough. When I get my life turned around, then I'll start going to church. You know, I'm going to try really hard, and I'm going to try to earn my acceptance before God. That is not what spiritual growth is, because that's simply not true. We know how we are accepted before God. It's not based on what we do. It's based on what Jesus has done on the cross. The second thing, spiritual growth is not a matter of God's favor or love. I think some people think, well, you know, some people are growing. It's because God's favor is on them. They haven't really done anything. They just, man, they're just growing and it's happening. And that's them and I'm me and I could never be like that. Now, that's not spiritual growth either. And the next thing, spiritual growth is not a matter of time. It's not based on how old you are or how long you've been a Christian. There are people who have only been a Christian just a short time and yet are very passionate, who are growing very quickly in their faith. There, on the flip side, there have been people who may have been a Christian almost their entire life, and yet you see very little maturity. You see very little growth in their life. They're still a baby, spiritually speaking. And so really, spiritual growth is not a matter, it's not a function of time. Spiritual growth is not a matter of knowledge only. The next one. And I say knowledge only because, yes, we are called to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So there is a part of spiritual growth that includes that we grow in what we know about God. So that is part. But it's not knowledge only. And so for some people, they're on this treadmill of life just trying to learn more about God and know all these facts about God. That's not really spiritual growth. The Pharisees had an incredible knowledge of Scripture, but yet they didn't understand the purpose of Scripture. So from Scripture, we see right there that spiritual growth is far more than just gaining knowledge. The next thing is spiritual growth has nothing to do with activity. You can do all sorts of stuff in the church, for other people. You can be just an incredible person. When people talk about you, they say, that is a good person. You wouldn't believe what they do for others. And that, yet, is not an indicator of your spiritual growth. It's interesting. I mentioned last week the Reveal study. It's a study of tens of thousands of Christians around the country. The big takeaway from that study was spiritual activity does not lead to spiritual growth. Being busy in church does not make you grow. And I know that's kind of a shock because most churches are centered around do more, serve more. Come every time the doors are open, you need to be there. Be active. Go, 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 go. And, you know, people are just going, wait a minute. You know, what about my relationship with God? Spiritual growth has nothing to do with activity. Now, I'll talk a little bit more about that later. We see that in Scripture, too. In Matthew 7, when Jesus said, you know, depart from me, I never knew you. Those are people who were serving. Those are people who were active. But Jesus said, I didn't know you. Activity follows relationship. We'll talk about that. And the next one is spiritual growth has nothing to do with prosperity. You know, there's a lot of false teaching going on around the church and around the country, the Big C Church, about prosperity, about how, man, you are growing if God blesses you financially, if you have good health, if everything is great in your life, then you know God is you know, you're growing. That's not what spiritual growth is. We know Jesus himself suffered. We're called to suffer like him. We have to be able to say, in the midst of our hardship, in the midst of our struggle, in the midst of our pain, say, Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. I don't follow Christ to get stuff from Christ. I follow Christ because he is all I need. And finally, spiritual growth is not a formula. It's not a class. It's not a program. And I think sometimes we try to compress it down and say, and package it up and say, okay, if you want to grow, then you need to do this, 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 and this. That's not what spiritual growth really is. Because each of us are created differently. So that's what spiritual growth is not. Let me tell you what spiritual growth is. And I've looked up all sorts of definitions. I've looked up, definition after definition. And this is the one that I came across that I really like the best because it's simple. I like simple stuff. It's learning to walk in intimacy with Christ. Learning to walk in intimacy with Christ. Now, I know as some of you read that, and the reason I know some of you are going to struggle with this definition is because in marriage counseling and pre-marriage counseling, I've talked to a lot of couples over the years. Almost every time when I bring up the topic of growing in intimacy, one of my questions is, what is intimacy? And the guys always say, I know what intimacy is, wink, wink. You know, and I always go back to them, that's not intimacy, wink, wink. You know, let's kind of get, that's a result of intimacy. There's children in the room, so I'm trying to behave. You know, and there's this idea of, yeah, that's intimacy. And you talk about that terminology with God, and it's like, that's just weird. And some of these guys are already checking out, saying, you know, that, you know. Here's what intimacy is. And I say that, and I've said this time after time with marriage counseling, pre-marriage counseling. Intimacy is trust. Intimacy is being able to fully trust the other person. That's trust. That's intimacy. And when you start applying that from the realm of marriage, because when you fully trust each other in a marriage, it's amazing how beautiful that relationship can be. But you take that same terminology, put it onto a relationship with God. When you fully trust in God, it's amazing how your walk with God can be. When you trust Him in the day-by-day decisions, when you trust Him, when it seems like things are just going crazy in the world around us, you say, I'm going to trust God. That's what really spiritual growth is. It's learning. It's learning how to walk in trust. Ephesians 1:17 is another passage. It says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He may reveal Himself to you. In other words, so that you may know Him better. Spiritual growth is about growing in your relationship with God. About knowing Him better. About growing in that intimate walk with Christ. It's about a relationship with God, not about our performance for God. And again, you know, spiritual growth happens. It's change. It's transformation from the inside out. As we learn to trust Jesus, our mind is changed. The way we think is changed. That's what Romans 12:2 talks about. That we transform our minds. The way we think. But not just our minds. It transforms our will. It transforms the way we make decisions. As we learn to trust Jesus. So that our decision-making, instead of trying to be in control of everything and be control freaks about everything in our life, we actually start trusting Jesus. It transforms our feelings and our emotions. It brings healing to our damaged emotions and our past and our pain and our suffering. As we trust Jesus, as He becomes everything we need, then our mind, our will, our emotions are all changed. Philippians 2 13 says, Dear friends, you have always followed my instruction when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. Some translations say to work out your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you. God is at work inside of you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases Him. And so we've got to understand, first of all, spiritual growth happens when God works in us. It is God doing the work, not us. He transforms us from the inside out. He gives us new desires. He gives us the power to do what pleases Him. And I know we've talked about habits, and we've talked last week about spiritual discipline. Those things are what opens up the line of communication so God can speak into our life. It opens up the pathway where God can transform us. But those things don't do the transformation. God is at work, and God's the one that does the transformation. So my role is just to work it out, to show the results of what God is doing in my life. I hope that kind of helps a little bit, but I want to give you really three keys this morning to experiencing life in Christ. The first key I want to give you this morning is we need to fully surrender to Christ. We need to fully surrender to Christ. Many of you grew up singing the hymn, "Have to Him I..." You know what I'm singing? Right. Does it say half? What does it say? All. But why do we live our lives thinking, oh, I can just give half? A third to Jesus I surrender. A third to Him I will only give. I mean, that makes sense when you sing it that way, right? But that's how we live. We say, God, you can have this part of my life and this part, but don't touch this part of my life. And we pull back. We need to understand that we need to surrender fully. And surrender is different from giving in and giving up. Surrender is relinquishing control. It's putting our faith and trust in Jesus, that His plan is better than our plan. And it's surrendering, saying, God, I'm going to trust You instead of trying to do this life on my own. It's giving up control to gain something better. His control, His guidance in our life. We take the first step of surrender when we put our faith in Jesus Christ to save us and to rescue us. And at that moment, when we accept Christ, we are completely and forever changed. At conversion, in our spirit, we put our trust in Jesus Christ, and He transforms us. He gives us a new heart. Ephesians 2 says, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, He made us alive. He awakened us with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved." We cross over from death to life. Colossians 1 says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation." We start seeing this dramatic transformation that has taken place. Romans 6:6 says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." So this spiritual growth starts, our relationship with God starts at the moment we put our faith and trust in Him. 2 Corinthians 5 says it best, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." So when we surrender control of our life, when we place our trust in Christ, God starts this lifelong process of transforming us to be more like Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:20 is yet another. There's just throughout the New Testament, we see this over and over and over. In Galatians, it says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Discipleship is not defined by what we do or we don't do. That's the law. Discipleship is choosing daily to trust Jesus. Choosing daily to trust Jesus. That's intimacy. That's trust. That's discipleship. That's transformation. We trust Him day by day. The second key to experiencing life in Christ is simply to abide in Christ. It's how we grow and how we worship. How we grow and how we worship, those are byproducts of this. When we abide in Christ, we can't help but grow. We can't help but worship. Why? We're connected to the vine. John 15 says it best, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, He it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So we get this picture here. And I don't know how many of you have gardens or fruit trees, but it's pretty simple. If you cut a branch off, disconnect it from the root system, it's not going to grow real good. It's amazing how quickly that something quits growing as soon as it's disconnected from its source of nutrition, right? I mean, it's as soon as you cut off a branch, it's like the fruit starts withering, it starts dying, it's not healthy. And yet, for so many Christians, we go through life disconnected from our source of power, and we wonder why we're withering away, struggling day by day. We're not abiding in Christ. And I think part of it is we put on a show. We come to church. We act like we have it all together. We do the things that a good Christian person is supposed to do. And we forget the most important thing, to abide in Christ. God doesn't want you for what you can do for Him. He wants you for who you were created to be. I've got a short little video here, a little skit that I think will help us understand.
Do you get it? It's an interrupting cow. He interrupts. That's what he does. He's a moo, right?
That is so dumb. It's a knock-knock
joke. Dumb. It's funny.
Hey, Laura.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures.
What are you doing? It's me. It's Jesus.
Lord, we take up our cross every day for you.
Oh, thank you. But the cross is where it begins, not ends.
Thou art the beginning and the end, Lord, Alpha and Omega. It's all about you, Jesus.
Guys, I just want you to be real with me.
You are the air I breathe. You are the air I breathe.
Drew, I think it's great when you worship me.
Oh, yes. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
It's just that sometimes it feels like you're putting on a show.
Oh, Jesus, please forgive me for putting on a show and being fake.
Okay, I forgive
you. Oh, praise you for your grace, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Guys, just say what you would normally say.
Praise Alleluia.
No, I mean, like, you know, if we were talking, you know, say what you'd say. Okay, Drew, tell us a joke.
What?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you were before.
Thou art holy, Lord.
That's not a joke.
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't mean that. What are you guys doing?
Jesus, we're living for you just like we always do.
Don't live for me. Live in me. When you live in me, you'll understand who you are and what you're living for. I just want something a little bit deeper. But if this is all you want.
I think part of the reason that we're in a spiritual slumber, and that so many people feel like that, is because of what we just saw in that video. They're doing what? Jesus, I'm living for you. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Are you living in Him? Are you abiding in Christ? Are you allowing Him to direct your life and guide your life? I want you to read. This is a passage you've all heard before. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. All right? And we read this list, but the fruit of the Spirit, it's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's forbearance, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And when we read those things, against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Verse 25 is the key, though, to this. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. See, these things are developed in us as we live in Christ, as we walk with Christ, as we take each step with Christ, not doing our thing on Sunday morning and putting on a show, but day by day we're walking with Christ and letting Him transform us. That's what it means to abide in Christ, to daily trust Him, to daily live in Him, not just for Him. The third and final thing is that the key to experiencing life in Christ is just to passionately pursue Christ. It's more than just surrender. If we want to grow, if we want to experience new life, we have to pursue Christ. Part of getting to know Christ through His Word and is through prayer. It's finding that spiritual pathway, using those spiritual disciplines to connect with God. It's pursuing after Him so we can plug in to our power source. 1 Peter 2 talks about this growth, this desire, this passion we should have. It says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. There's a desire there. There's a pursuit there. Are we craving pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you've tasted that the Lord is good? That's this idea that, you know, our growth is what God is doing in us. But we need to abide in Christ. We need to surrender to Christ, and we need to pursue Christ. That's the part of what God wants to do in us. Now, there's a second part that I want to touch on this morning. I don't have a lot of time to talk about it, but it's what God wants to do through us. And that is our response to God. And that is simply worship. Worship is a response to who God is and what He has done. That's our response. That's what life in Christ, He wants us to grow and to learn to daily trust Him, but He also wants us to respond in worship. If someone were to save your life, now think about this. If you were facing certain death, and somebody came and saved you. If you were on the edge of a cliff, somebody came, saved, and pulled you up, rescued you. Your response to them is going to be one of gratitude. It's going to be one of appreciation. You're going to be thankful. You're going to live the rest of your life, and I mean, just saying, I can't believe what that person did for me. But yet, when Jesus has rescued us from death, from eternal death, most of us say, I just keep going on through life. And we don't really think about everything that He has done for us and what He has done. Our worship recognizes Him as the creator of the world, but also as the savior of the world. And it's the highest priority for the believer as well as the church to honor Him for who He is and for what He has done. Worship is celebrating that personal relationship that we have with God. Through worship, we acknowledge that He is Lord. Through worship, we praise Him, we honor Him, we give thanks to Him. We let Him know how much we are thankful that He has saved us. And there's a couple ways we worship. We worship with reverence and awe and wonder of God. Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. That terminology from the Old Testament, that God is in control, that He deserves our worship, that He is a consuming fire, that God demands our reverence. John 4:23 in the New Testament says, that yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. So we worship with reverence and awe and wonder. But we also worship with our life. In Colossians chapter 3, we see that it's more than just simply singing on Sunday mornings. It says in Colossians 3, let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. We see there's variety in worship. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him through God the Father. So worship is our response. It's growing in our knowledge and our wisdom, but it's responding to what God has done. Now, I opened up this morning with a passage from 2 Peter. I kind of want to close out this morning going back to that same passage, 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read it from the Message. I'm paraphrasing. And sometimes when I use a Message, you kind of, and I look at that and read it and say, whoa, that's kind of, it gives you a unique perspective sometimes. And I like just how it phrases things. It kind of makes you think sometimes. So let me read this passage in 2 Peter one more time to you. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. It's the best invitation we ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you, your tickets to participation in the life of God after you turned your back on a world corrupted by lust. So don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. Without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you, oblivious that your old sinful life has been wiped off the books. So friends, confirm God's invitation to you, His choice of you. Don't put it off. Do it now. Do this and you'll have your life on a firm footing. The streets paved and the way wide open into the eternal kingdom of our Master and Savior, Jesus. Jesus Christ, the one light in a dark time. My challenge to you this morning is to abide in Christ, to be awakened to a personal, intimate relationship with the God who created you. I want to challenge you in a couple of ways. I want to challenge you just daily to constantly pray throughout the day, Jesus, love and serve through me today. That is worship. Okay, that is worship. Jesus, love and serve through me today. Just look for opportunities. Put yourself in situations where God can use you. That's part of our response to what He has done for us. It's to look for ways we can respond back to Him. Secondly, my challenge to you is just to start each day. I want to challenge you, if you're able, just simply to get on your knees. And the reason why, that's a posture of submission, of surrender, and just simply pray. Jesus, you are my life. My life is yours. Live through me today. Live through me today. That's growth. We're trusting Jesus day by day. Would you do that with me? As a church, I want you to be awakened. I want you to go from where you are now to where God wants you to be. And I know that you can do that. Now, God wants to do in us. He wants us to grow. But God wants to do through us. He wants us to worship. And this morning, I pray for each and every person here that you've been challenged in some way to really have your faith come alive and to fully live for Christ. You know, as we close out this morning, I want everybody to bow your heads. Richie's going to come back up. And I just want you to think for a minute. What is the condition of your spiritual life? Are you fully alive? Or are you just struggling, going through the motions? If you're struggling here this morning, first let me ask you, have you really given your life to Christ? Have you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ and in Him alone to save you? That's the first step on this process of being awakened to who God wants you to be. And if you haven't, right now, while every head is bowed, I just want to invite you into that relationship. Not into a list of what to do and not to do, but into a relationship, an intimate relationship with the God who created you. Would you just simply acknowledge your need for God? God, I have sinned. God, I've fallen short. I've messed up. I've disobeyed. God, I need you in my life. That's the first step. And then secondly, just, God, thank you so much for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross so that I may have true life, eternal life in you. Jesus took the penalty of your sins. He took the punishment you deserve so that you could live freely. And finally, just commit to living for God because of what He has done for you. That's your response. That's your worship. that you grow in your relationship with Him. You experience new life and you respond to that in a lifestyle of worship. As every head is bowed, if that's your prayer this morning, I don't know why, just would you just simply raise your hand up just to let me know this morning if that's your prayer. Thank you. I just pray for every person in this room, God, that you would awaken us to live a life trusting you, walking with you daily. Lord, empower us. Help us to pray each day that to be used by you, to be your hands and feet, but also to spend time in relationship with you. It's in the name of Jesus I pray this morning. Amen. As we stand and close up in worship, as always, there's response cards in the seat backs in front of you, prayer requests, any decisions you make, anything you need help with. Please fill that out. Let us know. We do take those very seriously. I'm going to be over to the side. You can talk to me after the service. I'll hang out. You can come up during the song. That's fine. You can come up and kneel and pray at the altar. Whatever God leads you to do. But let this be a time of our response to God. Worship for who He is and for what He's done. Thank you, guys.
Oh, how deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son and make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns His face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, His sins have paid my ransom. His wounds have paid my ransom.
You guys have a good week.